Prayer is powerful, not because prayer itself is powerful. Muslims pray. All kinds of different religions pray, but it's not just prayer in itself that's powerful. It's the God we pray to that's powerful. Amen. And so, it makes a difference who you're praying to and how you're praying to Him. Amen. And I'll tell you, I believe God is doing some amazing things here, Fairland. I'd like for us to stand. Let's thank God for touching and answering prayer, but let's pray for the remainder of this service that His will would be done. Lord, praise the Lord. I have to admit, this message here that I'm going to preach or teach to you kind of seems a little odd for me to preach it, because I don't know that anybody here would necessarily be guilty, but maybe for the CD ministry. I've got other messages, and I thought I might go a different way, but I'm going to read from Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. And I will say that maybe there's some faith building in my message as well, because when you do the right thing, God is able to meet your needs in a powerful way. And so Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast forth her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." I want to preach on tithing here tonight. That's the beginning of giving. Amen. The tithing is such a great blessing, and it blesses the church and the people, but it also blesses the one that gives in that manner. Now, in our text, the Israelites had forgotten to pay their tithes unto the Lord. And maybe I need to just explain what tithing is. Sometimes I've heard of people that made, let's just say they made $2,000 in a month, and they say, "Well, I paid God $50 tithes." Well, their math is a little wrong right there. The tithe of $2,000 is $200 if they made that. That was their increase. $50 was a portion of the tithes, but it wasn't the tithes. God had prospered the Israelites, but they left Him out. I read of one man, and he was contacted by one of his creditors because he wasn't paying them like they wanted him to. And he said, "Listen here, buddy." He said, at the end of the month, I put all of my bills in one table and spread them around. And then I throw them up in the air and have a little circle. And the ones that fall into that circle is the one that I pay. And he said, "If you keep this up, I'm going to even take you out of the mix." Amen. Well, I'm afraid some people leave God out of the mix, don't they? Amen. They pay everybody else but God. The average church in America, and I'm not saying this is us, but the average church goer in America gives 2.5% of their income to God's work. 2.5% is pretty low, really. God considers it robbery when we withhold what is rightfully His. The fact is, all of it, 100%, belongs to God. Doesn't belong to us. God is nice enough to let us use 90%, and I still believe that we should give offerings above our 10%, but at the same time, God is very generous in giving us 90%, isn't he? Amen. And so when people do not give their tithe, they do not really acknowledge that God owns it all. The tithe actually honors God and says, all right, this belongs to you, but I recognize that 100% belongs to you, really. Now, the requirement of the tithe is seen throughout the Bible. In the past, as some people I've heard make the objection, they say, well, tithing was the law. No, it wasn't. It was before the law. Amen. Before tithing system, before it became a system under the law, Abraham and Jacob gave tithes under the Lord in gratitude to him for his blessings. Abraham was grateful for God's help in defeating his enemies. And in Genesis 44 and 20, it says, and he blessed the Most High, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. That was talking about Melchizedek that he gave tithes to. Jacob also gave tithes unto the Lord. In Genesis 28 and 22, he said, and this stone which I have set forth for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, this was before the law and is, of course, during the law. The actual tithing system began during the time of Moses in Leviticus 27, 30 through 34, and Deuteronomy 14 and 22. You can read about that. But there was an annual tithe to help support those that worked in the church back then. There was an annual tithe there where that they gave tithes for the Levites and the priests in Numbers 18, 21. And it says, and behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth of Israel for an inheritance for their service, which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. The tithe was for the priests there and the Levites. A second tithe was brought to Jerusalem for the Lord's feast. In Deuteronomy 14 and 22, it says, and thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed in thy field, bringing forth year by year. And there was a third tithe every 3 years that was supposed to be given to the poor. And you can read about that, Deuteronomy 14, 28 through 29. And during Malachi's day, the people were not giving tithes, so the Levites were having to work to earn a living, therefore neglecting their God-given responsibilities to care for the temple and the service of worship. Everything we have is from God. The tithe is acknowledgement that the giver, amen, is God himself. And we rob him when that we do not give as he instructed us. We are saying in essence to the Lord, all that I have is mine, not yours. Once one's use of money is often a barometer of his spirituality. Now I want you to note, in the law, not under grace, they gave according to these three things, and then there were other things where they gave a half shekel or redemption and so on, which makes it a little bit more. But these three things amounted to about 23% that they gave in a year. 23%. Now, that's quite a difference between most churchgoers nowadays that give 2.5%. And some people say, well, we're under grace. We're not required as much. In my estimation, I think people that's on this side of the resurrection is probably required a whole lot more, because we got more light than they did back under the law. But 23% was what they gave just in those things. In the New Testament, the tithe kept on going, because in Luke chapter 11 and verse 42, Jesus said this, but woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe. Now listen how minute they tithe. They tithe of mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and Passover judgment and the love of God, these ought you to have done and not left the other undone. It's important to understand that Jesus was not telling them to quit tithing. He's saying you need to keep on tithing, but don't overlook these other things. It's no big deal if you tithe And yet, for whatever reason, you overlook the judgment of God, the love of God. There's important things that you're excusing yourself from. You say, well, I pay tithes. But then you don't have the love of God in your life. I pay tithes, but you don't have the judgment of God in your life. He said, listen, if you're going to get minute about paying tithes, even of herbs, and they did, and he commended them for that. But he said, why are you overlooking these other things? And that's the problem with a lot of church people. They say, well, you know, God allows me to sin here because I do this. These people, they sinned in the areas of the love of God and the judgment of God, but they excuse themselves because they paid tithes. I'm just going to tell you, God don't let anybody off for paying tithes. Hey, man, you got sin somewhere else in your life. He's not going to let you off for paying tithes. Amen. So it's important for us also to understand that in the Talmud, which was a book that the Jews used in a great way for their teaching, they were forbidden to even eat with those who did not tithe. The fact that they ate with Jesus and the disciples makes it plain that they paid tithes. In fact, if you'll read over in the book of Acts, they were still eating with the disciples after Calvary, after Pentecost. Evidently, they were not offensive to them, and they still were paying tithes even after Jesus raised from the dead and the day of Pentecost took place. Hallelujah. In church history, you can look at it. Irenaeus was one of the influential church fathers that noted the giving of the church and included tithes as a lesser portion of their prosperity. In other words, that's the least they ought to be doing. That'll be given a whole lot more than that, but that's the least. That's the beginning of giving. In other words, it was the minimum of what was expected of a Christian. Augustine and Jerome likewise showed that the church was still tithing in their days. That was, I don't know, 300, 400, 500 after Christ raised from the dead. Jerome said, if anyone shall not pay his tithes, he is convicted of defrauding and supplanting God. Now, to defraud is like, you know, if I make a bill and I don't pay it, I'm defrauding that person that I owe. And that word's not used a whole lot nowadays. But to defraud God, not pay him what is owed of him. Now, no one can point to one scripture that declares that God ever stopped the tithe from being given. Nobody can. There are New Testament scriptures that say, you know, in the Old Testament, there was times where that they had certain things they could not eat. They were unclean animals. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said, everything can be accepted with thanksgiving and sanctified by prayer. And so he did, the New Testament did away with that regulation right there. In the Old Testament, there was certain Sabbath. There was a weekly Sabbath and other Sabbath days. Paul said in Colossians, let no man judge you according to Sabbath days. And so that's not a New Testament principle. But there is nothing in the New Testament that says, stop paying tithes. Amen. The only thing that we have is from Jesus' example and the disciples' example. And you remember that Abraham is called the father of those that believe, the father of faith. And he paid tithes before the law was. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 5 through 10. The example of Abraham's tithes carry on in the New Testament. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descendant is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed them that had this promise. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also received tithes, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. And he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. But Jesus, the Bible says, is a priest after the order of who? Melchizedek. If the priesthood of Melchizedek continues on and tithing was going on under the priesthood of Melchizedek, let me tell you, this principle of tithing is still going on in the New Testament. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. If Abraham is the father of the faithful, then tithing is still going on in those people's lives that believe. Now, let's talk about the commencing of giving through the tithe. Tithe were just the beginning of giving. There was free will offerings that followed. But let's talk about also the reason for the tithe. It provided for the work of God, that there might be meat in my house, is what Malachi said. They had storehouses because they were farmers back in this day, and they would bring a tithe of their grain. And that's what the Levites and the priests ate on, because the tithe was for them to live. It's also storehouses when they brought offerings for the poor to be given out to the poor. But that's where they brought them. And can I tell you, I still believe God wants the house of God to be the center place that people bring their tithes to. It's not just necessarily something that they give in a random way. But it is God's will for this house to be provided for, and for those that work here to be helped in that manner. The JCPenney stores were started by a preacher's son. Now, I have to admit, JCPenney stores have drifted far, far away from its beginning, because there for a while they was trying to appeal to homosexuals, as far as I'm concerned. They're stock and their prices went way down. But listen to the beginning of this store. Amen. Because there was a preacher's son whose father died when he was a boy. There were no arrangements made to care for his widowed mother, except for people to say, "The Lord bless you." As a little boy, he had to go out and collect the clothes which his mother washed for a living. And he said, "When I grow up, I'm going to make money to see that no preacher's widow has to work like this." He made good. He established villages where retired preachers and their wives could live. God has blessed these men in the past who have recognized him. And I believe this is true still today. But my friend, you will have to do it out of love. That is the only way he will accept it. Amen. You'll have to admit that God blessed the JCPenney stores, because this man wanted to help and take care of people. He gave an abundance. It was not just the tithe. He gave an abundance unto the Lord. And so it's to take care of God's work, God's house. But it also says, "Prove me." It's also to prove the Lord of hosts. This means to put God to the test. God can be trusted with everything in our lives. He can be trusted with our finances. He can be trusted, amen, in the way that we give. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, there's this wonderful promise: "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God said in the Old Testament, "You give me your tithes first." And he said, "You can prove me. I'll stand the test. I will bless you." And in the New Testament, Jesus said, "Put me first in everything you do. Put God first in everything you do, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's also to practice the fear of God. First of all, it's to provide for the house of God. Secondly, to prove the Lord of hosts. Thirdly, to practice the fear of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 14 and 23, it says, "And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name." There, the tithe of the corn, of the wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And I tell you, when people do not pay tithes, they have showed that they do not fear God. But paying tithes puts God first and lifts him up to his rightful place, even in our finances, and shows that we have a proper understanding of the fear of God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you right now, if we had more fear of God in many a regular church people people's lives, we'd be having a great revival. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. But there's a reward of tithing. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. It was an emptying of heaven upon earth when somebody paid their tithes. Listen, this is a spiritual key that unlocks heaven's windows and allows the blessings of the Lord to pour out of heaven right here on earth. I realize this could be many different ways. Amen. God can bless us in a financial manner. God can prosper us, but God can give us health, or God can keep things from breaking down, or, you know, there's just all kinds of different ways. God can bless. I want to ask you, has there ever been anybody here that sacrificially gave, maybe you sacrificially paid your tithes, and possibly you didn't just immediately get a financial blessing, but you can say, I received a spiritual blessing. I believe I have, I'm telling you, I've been blessed. I remember one time, this is not tithing that I did, but I remember I was at a camp meeting and when I was an evangelist, and I felt like sacrificially giving to this one missionary, really, that probably was in a lot better shape than I was financially, but I felt like giving to him. And so I gave him this offering. And do you know, I did not, I've got some testimonies where I gave, and before I left, I got it back, you know. But I gave and I did not get it back. But I preached a service there in a youth service, and the Holy Ghost fell, and I got dozens and dozens of revivals. Hallelujah. Amen. I got weeks filled up in my year. And so, you know, for an evangelist, that was just, I don't really know how much more that little bit that I gave was multiplied. Listen, God can do it that way. Amen. But I would say he blessed me two ways, because the Lord anointed me way above my ability to preach in that service and gave me some spiritual results at that camp meeting. And then he blessed me financially as well. So listen, God pours out blessings that you can't even receive when you give in a right attitude, in a right way. There's promises in the Word of God. Amen. Listen, folks, I just have to say to you, I really have a problem sometimes preaching on finances. I don't know why. There's so much in the Bible about finances, and it is one of the major themes of the Word of God. And I'm also going to declare to you that when God gets your pocketbook, amen, he pretty much has your heart. Like that one fella, he had a dream, I think it was. He saw this Christian going to church. He had the armor of God on. You know, he had a shield of faith and a helmet and all this stuff. He said, saw the devil sneaking around. He said, he went around and shot him in the pocketbook and he died. Amen. Well, amen. I think that's the way it goes sometimes. But there, listen. If we put God first in all things, God's going to help us. But I'm also going to tell you this. There are promises in the Word of God for people that put God first in their finances. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal shall it be measured unto you again. Psalms 36:7-8. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou hast made them to drink the rivers of thy pleasures. Amen. Ephesians 3:20 says, and now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in in us. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Friend, I want you to know God's got some promises for those that give. And there's protection. Did you notice in Malachi it says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Amen. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. There's a book out called Proving God by Al Taylor. And he tells a story of this man that they call the Sweet Potato King, Arlie Rogers, who evidently produced a lot of sweet potatoes and became pretty wealthy. But he said when Arlie and his brother first arrived in California, they had little money. They scrimped and scrapped their money. Amen. Were able to purchase a farm, and they were growing the crop of cotton at the time. When the cotton plants they planted were just out of the ground, a great sandstorm swept through the valley, wiping out everyone's crops. The Rogers brothers were very discouraged. Arlie called the church and asked the pastor to visit him. As the pastor walked across the devastated cotton fields, the brothers poured out their burdens to him. They were completely ruined and lost everything. Pastor Burnham knew that these boys were dedicated Christians. They were active in the church and supported the ministry with tithes and offerings. He looked at the boys and said, "Fellas, it really is not that bad. The God we serve raised his own son from the dead after 3 days. I know he can raise cotton." Hallelujah. Amen. The pastor fell to his knees on the dirt and prayed, "Father, these men are tithers. You said that you would rebuke the devourer for a tither. And I'm asking you to manifest the power of your word and fulfill that promise right here in this cotton field. Bring this cotton back and give these men a good crop in Jesus' name. Amen." He rose from his knees and said, "That ought to take care of it." It did take care of it. A few days later, the boys called the pastor back. There before their eyes was a crop of cotton. It was raising from the ground. God had rebuked the devourer for the Rogers brothers. Amen, because they paid tithes. I believe there was some authority. "Prove me this day," he said. "Prove me this day. I'll tell you, I believe that we can be prayed. We can have this type of proving. And then let me also say, I think that God wants to bless a church and bless people that give in this manner, in such a manner, amen, that other people will give praise to God about it." In verse 12, it says, "And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." That's what God's plan was for Israel. I believe that's what God's plan is for us as well. He wants to so bless us in such a manner that other people say they are blessed. God defends them, takes care of them, and helps them. Now, I realize there's some exceptions. If people live beyond their means and fall into trouble, they can't blame God. Amen. They might blame their own covetous heart. And sometimes there's a trial of faith. Amen. That God puts us through where we have to depend upon him. Other times there's an attack of Satan, just like Job had. And he was still a good man. I'm saying there's some exceptions here. Every once in a while, there's persecution or judgment that may come upon a land that may affect even the Christians that pay their tithes. But the rule is that God meets the needs of his children. And when they put him first, God will not let their needs go by the wayside. He is going to pay attention to those that lift him up and fear him and put him first. And so listen, there's a joy in giving anyway. Amen. Whether we get it back right away or whatever, however that God works it out in his blessing, when you give with a heart that's honest and wants to bless God and do the right thing, then that is going to result in a certain blessed joy in your own spirit and soul. That's just the way it is, folks. Hallelujah. There's a blessing about giving that you just can't. And I believe there's a spiritual release about heaven's gates and heaven's windows that's opened up when we give in a proper and wonderful manner. And I appreciate the giving of our church and the tithe payers. And I'll just tell you how we're going to make it. We're going to give, and God's going to bless us. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, what in the world are we going to do if the economy collapses? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give, and God's going to help us. That's what's going to happen. We can prove him, the Bible says. Prove him this day. Amen. And I love it there. You all remember, I've been trying to get together a message. I can't say I've worked on it every day like this, but for years I've been trying to think, how am I going to preach on the Lord of hosts? But isn't it amazing here that great name, the Lord of hosts, is used right here. The Lord of innumerable angels and saints and amen and resources. That Lord of hosts is provable, my friend. Hallelujah. You can send an angel, amen, to rebuke the devourer, hold the devil back, and he can help us in every way. I just want to preach to you and tell you, amen, that when you obey God and you put God first in all your life, including your finances, he's going to help you. He really will. There may be people here tonight that's suffering some financial setbacks. I don't know. But just like that brother prayed for those two brothers that was looking at a crop failure, and he brought it up to the Lord. He said, these men pay tithes. And you said in your word that we could prove you and you'd rebuke the devourer. He prayed it that way. And God blessed them. You know, God can help us. He really can. Praise the name of Jesus. Could we all stand? Oh, Lord, I thank you for your blessings upon us and for all that you've done for us. I give you glory and praise and honor and thanks for salvation through the blood of Jesus. I'm glad that you put us in such a manner first, Lord. And I give you praise and glory and honor. I'm asking that you'd move in a great and powerful way. Rebuke the devourer in these people's lives. Lord, these that are paying tithes, I pray that you would bless them. Open up the windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing that they can't receive. And I'm praying that you'd bless them in such a way that others would look and say, boy, they are blessed. Praise God, they are blessed. Amen, Lord, I pray you would loose the finances of the tithe payers of our church and prosper them and bless them. But more than that, we want spiritual blessings. We're wanting souls to be saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and healed. Lord God, a healing is much more valuable than a lot of things we can get in the finances. There's healings that we're needing that we couldn't pay for out of our pocket, Lord. We couldn't pay for a doctor to do anything. A lot of times doctors can't. But Lord, I pray you'd open the windows of heaven upon the tithe-paying people of this church and pour them out blessings that they can't even receive, just like that basket to pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Let the blessings come to the tithe payers of our church. Bless their businesses and their homes and their stuff. Bless them with wisdom, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon us. Oh, God, I'm praying for the Holy Ghost to have his way in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know about you. I felt the Spirit of God praying for the tithe payers of our church to be blessed. You never know what people are going through. Sometimes folks can put on a good face. I'm not saying they're putting on. I'm just saying that they can make you aware that you don't think anything's wrong. And, amen, they got the blessing of the Lord in their lives. But there's people sometimes suffering some setbacks that they need some help on. I'm praising God. He's able. He's a provable God. We can put him to the test, can't we? Amen. People's businesses sometimes suffer and folks needing wisdom. I'm telling you, we can put God to the test. He said, prove me and just see. Just take. I was talking to Brother Steve Shanifeld. And Brother Steve, I tell you what, he's been in high up executives. He'd been on the board of Kmart. He was the CEO of Pep Boys. They're not around here, but they're a big auto parts place and division in some parts of the country. You know, he's been on some big things. He was serving on the board with another fella. And this other fella was lost, but he said, seemed like everything he did just prospered. And he said, you know what? I asked him, I said, how do you attribute this? He said, how do you attribute your prosperity? He said, I'll tell you what. He said, you know, I was just going along, barely making it. And one day I heard about a family that was in real need. You know, my heart went out to him. It's not a Christian man. And he said, you know, I gave to that family that was in need. And he said, as soon as I gave to that family in need, he said, I got so much more. And he said, and I thought, well, isn't that strange? He said, I'm going to go and try that again. He said, I found another family and I gave to them. He said, right after I gave to them. He said, and that's the only way I can explain it. I'm not smarter than anybody else. He said, I just try to find people that's in need and give. He said, every time I do, he said, I believe there's some type of law in this universe that blesses givers. He didn't use the word bless. He said, there's some type of law in this universe where that givers receive something. That's what he said. He couldn't explain it. He didn't know there is a law. It's in the Bible. It's right here. He didn't understand it. I just want you to understand that God wants to be proven. Let's all come around the altar. Maybe you know of somebody that's a good tithe paying, honest, from the depths of their heart, that's going through some needs and problems. Pray God would bless them. Pray God would help them. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you.